left his home in glory, and he came to a world filled with hate to demonstrate his love in effecting redemption for a fallen race. And I was part of that. I don't know about you. I was part of that fallen race, and Jesus came for me and brought redemption, and I praise him for it this morning. You know, he sought those who were lost. That's the purpose that he came. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And because of the shed blood of Jesus, we do not have to go to a devil's hell. We are separated unto the Lord this morning because of the precious blood of Jesus. Amen? Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord for sending Jesus. And so we need to repent of our sin. We need to turn to the Lord, invite him to be the Lord of our life. And he will come in and he will bless us abundantly. Again, without the precious blood of Jesus, there is no remission of sin. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And there are many today that are proclaiming another way, but we know this morning that there is only one way, and that's through Jesus. And I'm glad I found him, aren't you? Aren't you glad you know him this morning as Savior and Lord? And so he's here to help us this morning. Well, we're going to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and we'll begin with verse 29, and reading from Luke's Gospel, and concerning the Lord's entry into Jerusalem. That had to be an intensive week. We're celebrating Holy Week, the beginning of this week now when Jesus came to Jerusalem. It had to be an intense time for Jesus as well as his disciples. I don't think they knew quite what to expect, even though he had warned them, he told them that he was going to the cross. I don't think they quite understood it, but it had to be an intense time for Jesus. And we are told he set his face as a flint to go to the cross. And he did it for us. For you and for me this morning. And I say, praise the Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So beginning in verse 28, and when he had thus spoken, and what he had been talking about earlier in that chapter was about the pounds or the talents. And you know that story, how that those who had much, they gained much. Those who had little, they didn't. They hid what they had. Yeah, hid their talent and didn't use it, and so he took away what they had. And but he blessed those that used what they had. There's a whole lesson there this morning for you and I to take what God has given us and make use of it. Use what God has allowed us to do. So there's a whole lesson there. But Jesus had finished saying this, and then he goes on to say, it came to pass when he had come to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. I get so nervous, my mouth gets dry, so you'll have to pardon me for that. I told the earlier church, I'll take care of the nervous mutts, you just relax. Amen. And we'll get through this morning, and God will help us to do that. But he sent two of his disciples, there's a lesson there for us too, that he sent two of his disciples, and they were to go to the village over against you, into which you'll enter in and find a colt tied there, upon which never a man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why ye loose him, thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. Now, there's a lesson here too that these disciples were sent on a mission of the Lord. And there isn't anyone here this morning, but God has a plan for you. God has a mission for you, whatever it might be. I know what the mission is for me. I know what God had called me to do. And with all my heart, I've been trying to do that through these many years. But God has a plan for you, and he has a work for you. And this was a simple thing that he called his two disciples to do, go and find his colt. It was prophesied that that would happen. And so they went, and as they were sent, they went their way, and they found, as he had said, they found the colt. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto him, unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord have need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garment upon him, the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. Now, you think about that, how much Jesus knew that there was a colt tied. There isn't anything that our God does not know this morning. Our God knows even the thoughts that are going through your mind today. He knows even the intents of your heart today. He knows all about us. But we have to understand that. Our God is an awesome God. And he's here this morning. He knows my heart. He knows your heart today. He knows exactly what you have need of this morning. And he's more than able to meet that need. Amen? Whatever God has, whatever you need, God has for you today. Praise the name of the Lord. But he knew that there would be a colt tied, and so he sent his two disciples, and they went and loosed them. They brought the colt to him, and they put the blankets on them, and sat Jesus on them. And as he went, they spread their clothes before him. Some places it said the palm branches, and that's what we think of on Palm Sunday. We think of the palm branches, but as he went, riding a colt now, here we find Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, into the city, and riding on the colt, and the people are meeting him, and they're casting their clothes before him. And he was come nigh, even now, unto the ascent of the Mount of Olives. The whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice and with mighty, for all the mighty works that they had seen Jesus do. And so they were excited at seeing Jesus coming into the city. They were rejoicing because of the fact that Jesus come. I think about that. He's going to come again. Do you know that? Jesus is coming back to earth again. And we rejoice at the thought. Those who look for him, he's coming again. He's coming a second time. This time he's coming bringing salvation. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, they were saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. But when the Pharisees saw that, they were upset with the disciples because of their anticipation that Jesus would set up his kingdom. Here comes the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Pharisees didn't like it. And they told Jesus, Master, rebuke your disciples. Tell them to be quiet. And I want to tell you, when Jesus comes, you can't be quiet. Amen? When Jesus comes into your heart, you can't be quiet. You just want to tell everybody. And they saw Jesus coming. I know when Jesus came into my heart, I just wanted to let everybody know there was a God in heaven that loved me, and I wasn't the same person anymore. There's joy when Jesus comes into the heart. And they were excited at Jesus coming. They realized all that he had done. They were rejoicing at the coming of Jesus. And the disciples were told, shut up, be quiet. And they said, and Jesus said, well, if they're quiet, even the stones will cry out, because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was coming into the city of Jerusalem. So they were not quiet. They shouted the praises of the Lord. And when he was come near, he beheld the city. And the Bible tells us here that when he saw the city, that he wept over it. And I'm thinking this morning, when God looks over our America, when he looks all across the world this morning, I'm sure that God weeps over some of the things that he sees happening in our world. How that our world has changed just in my lifetime. How that we've gotten so far away from what our country started out to be. How God was number one in our country. And our country was founded on godly principles. But I'm going to say this morning that our legislators and our people, or even our churches, many of them have gotten so far from what God intended for them to be. That I believe that when Jesus looks down upon us this morning, upon the earth this morning, that he weeps because of what is happening. I know that angels in heaven rejoice over one soul that turns to Him. Amen? The Bible tells us there's joy in heaven over one person that will surrender their lives to the Lord. But Jesus looked over the city, and as He beheld the city, we're told that He wept over it. And when I read these words, verse 42, when I read these verses, it almost always brings a sense of sadness and tears when you realize what Jesus was seeing as He came. He came saying this, "If thou hadst known even the least of this, thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come." Now, this was, think about it. When Jesus came into His city, and the people, what was happening in that place, when you think about it, He wept over it when He saw what was happening in his house. Let's read further. "For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee about and keep thee in on every side. And they shall lay thee even to the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another." Now you see that Jesus realized there was coming a time because of their disobedience, because they've gotten so far from what God intended for them to be. The judgment was going to come, and the temple was going to be destroyed. And Jesus saw that. And He says this, and listen to this morning. "Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." And I submit to you this morning that there is a time of visitation for every one of us. There's a time when God speaks to our heart, and that's the time that we need to respond to Him and say, "Yes, Lord." And whatever God is speaking to us about this morning, this is our day of visitation. This is a time when we can make our hearts right with God. This is a day of opportunity. The Bible tells us it'll not always be so. And this was a time of God's visitation. There's a time when the Spirit of God knocks on the heart's door. And that's the time to respond to Him. Because there comes a time when He will not always be there. Well, He went into the temple. Now, you have to listen to this morning. He went into the temple, and He began to cast them out because they were buying and selling. They made their house a place of merchandise. And He said unto them, "It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." I believe this morning that God's house is a house of prayer. And how good it is to just call upon the Lord. And you think about it this morning, it's the precious blood of Jesus that He shed on the cross that allows us to come into the very presence of God. Back in the Old Testament, it wasn't so. They took the blood of a bull or a goat, and it was only the high priest that would take that blood, and he had to be prepared. There was all kinds of preparation that he had to go through before he went into the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. But once a year, he would take the blood of bulls and goats, and he would go into the Holy of Holies. He'd sprinkle that blood on the Ark of the Covenant and confess the sins of the people. Now, he would do that once a year. And so what Jesus is saying to us this morning, that He went to the cross and once and for all time, He shed innocent blood for you and for me. That blood was untainted by sin. He was a sinless person. He had no sin in Him. And that's the reason He could go to the cross and shed blood for us. And because of the shed blood of Jesus this morning, you and I have access to our Heavenly Father. It's only through the blood of Jesus that we can come. No wonder that we say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross for us. Thank you for the precious blood of Jesus this morning that allows us to come into the presence of the Lord." And it tells us daily he taught in the temple to his people. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, he came to died on the cross for our sins, for those who were lost. And this morning, you have to know that there are many people who are lost who don't know Jesus. And he came for those people. He came for me. I was part of those that were of a nation that was lost and undone, on my way to a devil's hell. And then Jesus knocked on my heart's door. And somebody down through the years had spent time in the presence of God on my behalf. I had a praying mother and a praying church, people that were concerned for my salvation, and they brought me before the Lord. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart, and I realized that something had to happen. The Bible told me, except I be born again, that I'd never enter into the kingdom of heaven, that I'd be lost forever. And so as a teenager, I was following the Lord, sort of, but then got away from the Lord for many years in there. And during that time, I kind of wondered if I'd ever get back into the place where God loved me again. But he never stopped loving me, and he never stopped knocking on my heart's door. And he was always there whenever I would call upon his name. He's very real to us this morning, and he loves us, and he cares for us. Well, he knocked on my heart's door, and I said, yes, Jesus, come in and be the Lord of my life. And I'll never forget that day. The joy that I experienced in knowing sins forgiven, knowing that no matter what happened, that I would be with the Lord. And this morning, this is what happens to us. We come to Jesus, we know that we know that we know, no matter what happens to us, that we're going to be with the Lord. Well, he came into Jerusalem that day, and those who know the Bible know that we're living in a time when Jesus is coming back. He's coming back to earth. And I don't know all the sequence of events. You know, people have spelled it out. They made all kinds of charts, and they know just exactly what's going to happen next. I'm not sure of any of that. Some people know for sure what's going to happen. I don't. But I do know this. I know that he's coming back one day. One day the trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ will rise, and those who are alive and remain will be caught up together to be with the Lord. And that day is coming. And we look around us, and we look at the newspapers, and we know that the events that were prophesied would happen, those things are unfolding at a rapid pace. Things are happening so fast around the world. You read the newspaper, and you have to be concerned that Jesus is on his way back. And the best part of it is he's coming back for a church that has made itself ready. A church without spot and without wrinkle, the Bible tells us. And the only way that that can happen is if I come before my Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus. And I ask in godly sorrow, I come before the Lord, ask forgiveness for the things that I've done. And I make restitution where that's necessary. When I came back to the Lord, I had to make restitution. Does anybody know what restitution is? You know what? It's not, restitution is not easy. Those things that you can make right, you go back and make them right. Those things that you've stolen or whatever. I stole a car heater from Scharf's over there when I was a teenager. I had a car, a little Chevy pickup, a Chevy coupe. I went with my father-in-law over there, and we went to a Card's junkyard, and or Scharf's junkyard. We went to Scharf's junkyard, and I saw this three-way heater, and I said, that will fit in my little car. And I wanted that heater, and I took it. And I didn't tell Scharf about it. And so many years later, don't you know, that God reminded me about that heater that I had stolen. And so I went back to Arnie Scharf, and I said, I stole a heater from you several years ago, and I want to make it right. And he said, well, what do you think it's worth? And I said, I don't know. Well, he charged me $5. I figured it was worth $2. But I was glad to give him my five. Amen. And get it off my heart. That's restitution. And when it's possible, there are some other things that I'm not going to tell you about. I had to write to the Canadian National Railroad and make confession about something I had done to the Canadian National Railroad. And I got a letter back, and they said, confession is good for the soul. God bless you. They let me off the hook. Amen. Isn't God good? He doesn't let us get by with anything. And I want to say this morning, if you've got something on your heart, restitution that you haven't made, you won't make any progress until you've taken care of it. Amen. God is that kind of a God. He loves you so much. When you stand before the gates of heaven, when you stand before a holy God, you're going to be covered by the blood of Jesus. And you're going to stand there because you've made things right before God. You repented of sin and received Jesus as your Savior and Lord. The best part of it all is that you can know that you know that you know that you're ready for heaven. That's the best part. You don't have to wonder where you're going to spend eternity. It's possible to know that you know that you know that you're going to be with the Lord when this life is over. And I know that life is very fragile. We do not have the promise of tomorrow. Life is so uncertain. And we know that we've got today. We've got this day of visitation when God is through the power of the Holy Spirit knocking on heart's door. And we know that we've got this day to make things right with God. We don't know what tomorrow holds for us. And that's the reason that we pray for families. We pray for young people. We pray for older people. On Saturday nights when we come to pray, we pray for the services on the Lord's Day. For everything that takes place in this sanctuary on the Lord's Day. We pray that the Holy Spirit would just have His own way in the hearts of people. And where conviction is needed, God let it happen. Where hearts need to be made tender, make hearts tender to receive Jesus. Because everything depends upon it. Everything depends upon it. If we miss heaven, we've missed everything. And we can know that we know that we know that we will spend eternity with the Lord. One day I'm going to be there, and the time goes by so fast, I'm going to be 80 years old before you know it. I got one more year, and then I'm going to be an octogenarian. Man, and I'm not especially looking forward to it, but the years go by so fast they go by. And things are happening so quickly. And Jesus is surely on His way back for a church that's made itself ready. And I want to be part of that. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to look up some people. I'm going to look up my mother, the one who used to say to me, "Oh, Leslie, why mothers get gray?" And I'm going to say, "Mother, I'm sorry I gave you all those gray hairs. And thank you for praying for me. Thank you for bringing me before the Lord. Thank you for being faithful to God and praying for your family." And my siblings are going to be there. Many of them, I hope all of them there are there. But when I came back to the Lord, then I had opportunity to go to many of my relatives, my aunts and uncles, and Karen and I would go and pray with them and share with them what Jesus had done in our hearts. And even now on Facebook, I have many relatives that I can share the love of Jesus with, encourage them to get right with God while there's time and opportunity. This is the day of visitation, and God is looking down upon our country. And He's looked upon His churches, and unfortunately, many of our churches have gotten so far from God. Many of our churches are not walking in holiness. Many of our churches have allowed the world to come in so that it's hard to recognize them. But I choose the power of the Holy Spirit with all my heart to live godly and holy and demonstrate the love of Jesus to a hurting world. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus today, we're going to ask that the worship team come, and we're going to sing the last song that we have there. And if you're here this morning as they're playing that song and for us today, if you will come and stand before the altars of the Lord, if you don't know Jesus, you come. If I didn't know him, I wouldn't walk. I would run to the altar. I would literally run to the altar and surrender my life to Jesus. He's that good, and he loves me that much. And so if you're here this morning and you're not quite sure where you're at spiritually, I would like to pray with you and invite Jesus to make himself real to you, and he will do it. So as we sing this last song, and I just want you to come, and maybe you have some other needs. Maybe there are some other things that you want to pray about, but I'll be here to pray with you as they sing for us and play for us this last song. Amen? Yeah. Stand together with us.
Done for us can
incomprehensible, isn't it? But he went to the cross for us because he loved us. He loves you this morning. And he wants the very best for you in these last days. God is searching for those that will really step out and be the people that he wants them to be. I shared earlier this morning, prayer is so important. Spending time with the Lord. Because out of this fellowship will come pastors, evangelists, pastors and teachers. And those of us who know the Lord can spend time before him on behalf of those, that their lives would be on fire for God, that the call would be very clear as the message goes forth from time to time, and that they would respond to the call of God upon their lives. And there are many in Awanas and in the Sunday school, perhaps many here this morning. The call of God is upon your life. You're a young person, and God has a plan for you. And it's time, you know, to really receive that plan and begin acting on it. But we're praying for you. We're praying for those that God will use in a powerful way in the days ahead as he tarries. I appreciate you so much, every family. We continue to pray for you that God will bless you abundantly and keep you in his care. Father, this morning again, we just are so thankful, Father, for your goodness to us. We thank you for this Lord's Day. We thank you, Father, for this holy week when we remember that you went to a cross and you suffered bitter agony and you did it for us, Lord. We just want to say thank you, Father. Thank you for sending Jesus. And Jesus, we want to thank you that you came. And thank you, Jesus, that you sent the Holy Spirit to be with us and empower us to live godly and holy in this present time. Lord, I just want to pray for every precious soul that is here this morning and every family that's represented. Father, just pour out your Spirit upon every home. May there be a joy unspeakable and full of glory as hearts are open to you. And as you move upon people, Lord, to serve you in holiness and righteousness in these days, we pray it in the name of Jesus. And then, Father, again, we bring our Pastor Jim before you. We ask, Lord, that the healing virtue of Jesus would just raise him up and make him strong and empower him, anoint him, Lord, to continue the work that you've called him to do in this community. We thank you for him, Lord, and his family. We thank you for the volunteers and the teachers. God, we just give you praise for each one that have part in this fellowship. We thank you for them this morning. Go with us now, we pray, Father, to our several homes. Help us to be aware, Lord, of this is the week when you went to the cross. You prepared yourself. You set your face as a flint to go to the cross, Father, Jesus, and you did it for us. And we want to thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen and amen.